Right.
Just turn it off. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. We don't need to hear any of that. Hey, gang. Welcome to Boomer Vision, a part of the National Bugle Radio family of programs on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the last republic you have left. Because the other republic, the one that was founded in 1787, that's gone. Something's going to replace it. We're still here. Doesn't mean we're not here anymore. Doesn't mean American people aren't here anymore. But the republic, the political structure that was established by the founders, by the drafters of the American Constitution in 1787, I think it's gone. I think so. We'll talk about that, but what we have to talk about, there is the Great Repression. Okay, now you've heard of the Great Depression, you've heard of the Great Recession, those are economics. This is the Great Repression. Welcome to the Great Repression. And they are, because the American Republic, founded in 1787, has been terminated, so has the freedom of speech that had been enshrined in the First Amendment. And so, welcome to the Great Repression. We are having our speech repressed. You've got the mass deplatforming going on. They could have debated this en masse, these people, because you'd think they're mass debaters, but no, they're mass deplatformers. They don't want any debate. They just want to deplatform. And so that's what they're doing. They're deplatforming. And what does that mean? That means that you're not going to find anything, any real information on YouTube. There's still some. Some people find ways around it, or they haven't gotten around to kicking them off. But don't worry. Don't worry. It's coming. Facebook? No. No, they're... I've got something from Facebook. We're going to play a clip from it. But no, they're not going to. I mean, Dick Zuckerberg, he's not going to allow anything on his free speech. They're always calling Dick into the Congress, and they give him their tongue lashing. They're tongue lashing Dick Zuckerberg. And what does it do? Nothing. So you're going to have everybody. And the thing is, the boomers are on. Hey, before we get to this, go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app, and just install it over and over while you still can. Go there. You want it. You know you do. And you want to support the Koshertified app. It's a new thing. If we don't have, we're not going to be able to use all of these social media platforms. We want the Koshertified app. Download it and you'll see. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Send a donation. It's the last republic you have left. But getting back, boomers do use Facebook. And I don't. And even though I am a boomer. But apparently it's big amongst the boomers, because they can upload pictures of their grandkids, if they have any, or their meals that they ate at Cracker Barrel, I'm going to say. I don't know. Applebee's, maybe, that they went out and they take a picture of their meal and they put it up there, or they're on vacation. I don't know what they do, because I'm not on it. But that's being taken away, I guess. The fearless leader Donald Trump has been kicked off of Facebook. So that's coming. Twitter, I didn't do the whole Twitter thing either, but everybody's getting kicked off of that. So you've got the great deplatforming, which is part of the great repression. We are being repressed. This is the great repression. All right, I'm going to play a clip, and this is what... She's not even a boomer. Nancy Pelosi's too old to be a boomer. I mean, she's literally too old to be a boomer. I believe she was born in 1940. The baby boom didn't start until 1946. Let's just call her, she was a babysitter for boomers. I'm sure she was. She probably, because babysitting was a thing back then. I don't know if it's still a thing, but it was a thing back then. And so in the 1950s, when she was a teenager, and somebody wanted to go out to the movies, if a couple wanted to go out to the movies, they'd call up Nancy Pelosi, who was in Baltimore. I'm sure they did this in Baltimore, and she'd come over. So she was a babysitter for boomers. All right, she's not a boomer herself. She's too old to be a boomer. And she put this on Facebook. And this is a reflection of the Great Repression. So the Great Repression, it's not only going to be free speech, it's going to be attacks on white people for being white. So roll that clip.
There are people in our country led by this president, for the moment, who have chosen their whiteness over democracy. So we know that on January 6th, when that assault was taking place on the Capitol, 3,865 people in our country died of the coronavirus. Many of them people of color because of the injustice of it all.
Because of the injustice of it all. Their people of color are dying because of the injustice of it all. And it's all due to white people choosing whiteness over democracy. She said that on the day that evil white people tried to insurrect the Capitol, they were trying to insurrect the Capitol, and because of that, 3,865 people died of coronavirus. Many of them precious black people whose lives actually matter. Let's just stop and do a little math, because people don't do math, but it's good to do math. 3,865, that's what she said died on one day. And it's going up. You'll see, it's going up. But let's just say 3,865. Now, if that's the day, she didn't just get this from nowhere, so this is the daily coronavirus death total. Multiply that by 365, because there's 365 days in a year. What do you get? Well, you get 1,410,725. You get 1.4 million. Now, how many people die in a given year? 2.8 million. In 2018, according to the CDC, 2.8 million died. 1.4 million, according to Nancy's numbers, 1.4 million are going to die of the coronavirus this year. Half the people who are dying of coronavirus. So I guess if these weren't people who were going to die anyway, that means that our death rate must have gone up at least. I mean, we must be expecting at least, on top of that 2.8 million, an additional 1.4 million. Is that how it's working? No, it's not how it's working. We're not having any increase in deaths. To the extent we are, it's probably from younger people committing suicide. We're not having an increase in the death rate. All we have is deaths being categorized as coronavirus deaths. George Floyd was categorized as a coronavirus death. Okay? So you can have a drug overdose and a heart attack. Or if you're watching the mainstream media, you can be, George Floyd wasn't murdered by racist cops. He died of coronavirus. Okay, whatever. Let's go back and see what this crazy old bat has to say.
The next day, on Thursday, 4,000 people died of the coronavirus. Why? Because decisions were made at the highest level months before, in the Oval Office, of denial, distortion, delay, calling it a hoax. The president is responsible for many of those deaths. But we have to get to the place where we will crush the virus, and crush it we will. I bring that up because on the 6th, that was the Feast of the Epiphany. Many of you have heard me say that in some remarks I made that day. The Feast of the Epiphany. Epiphany having the connotation of an awakening that people will realize in a different way. I thought it was going to be an epiphany for those who were in opposition to our democracy to see the light. Instead, it has been an epiphany for the world to see that there are people in our country led by this president, for the moment, who have chosen their whiteness over democracy. That's what this is about. There was an article written a number of years ago on democracy which said, I fear the day when white Americans will have to choose between their whiteness and this democracy. And we saw what happened that day.
Okay, so some unnamed writer who is obviously either a black person or a Jew wrote that white people are going to have to choose between democracy and their whiteness. And we saw what happened with those evil Trump supporters who were choosing whiteness over democracy. Democracy meaning the fake election, which was faked with the benefit of a fake crisis from this virus that is killing everybody. We should be celebrating, not protesting.
This cannot be exaggerated. The complicity, not only the complicity, the instigation of the President of the United States must and will be addressed. It's only a number of days now before we inaugurate a new president. And aren't we proud that the Vice President of the United States is Kamala Harris from our neck of the woods, the first woman Vice President of the United States, the first African-American vice president, the first Asian-American president of the United States. We're very, very proud of that beautiful diversity.
Oh, she's so proud. She can barely contain herself from all that giggling because it's all about identity. She's a woman and she's black and she's Asian. Roly poly fish heads are never seen drinking cappuccino at Italian restaurants with
Oriental women. And we're proud of the team. I spoke with Joe Biden yesterday. He extends his greetings to all of you.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Joe.
He's ready to get moving. He is a healer. He is a healer in the spirit of America the Beautiful. He is one who will try to bring people together. But that coming together comes from speaking truth to the American people. And they haven't heard truth from this president in 4 years. Not one day. But he will speak truth and people will understand what is at stake and what the right path is for liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, Nancy. Yeah, indeed. What a dumb biatch. Anyway, well, I think what's really striking is this vindictiveness that we're seeing. First of all, the Trump people, looking over these past 4 years, the Trump people have, in terms of morality, in terms of our values and our democracy, what have they done wrong? What was so wrong? Donald Trump was elected. He had a platform of restricting immigration. That's very legitimate. There's nothing undemocratic about that when people don't want mass immigration. And as I've read it before, I'm not going to read it today, I don't think. But I might. But Eugene McCarthy, a co-sponsor of the 1965 Hart-Celler Immigration Act, writing later in life about how America is becoming a colony of the world and how the Congress was fooled into passing this. There's nothing undemocratic about that. There's nothing undemocratic about wanting to withdraw American troops from overseas. There's, you know, it. What you had was an undemocratic undermining of this president, whether you like him or not. He was bumbling, for sure. I think my position on him has been clear, that to the extent he was well-intentioned, I mean, he's probably a narcissist. Probably, understatement. But to the extent he saw his own self-interest as being aligned with the self-interest of the American people, he stepped up. He did step up, got himself elected, had no idea how to govern, was outmaneuvered at every turn, and winds up finishing out, or perhaps not even finishing out, this four-year term, having gotten very little done out of what he promised. What he did get done is he got done other people's agendas. At times, he got done Paul Ryan's agenda to have a tax cut for corporations and whatnot. He got done Jared Kushner's agenda of letting black crack dealers out of prison, the whole prison for him. That wasn't anything he'd campaigned on. He got the neocon Jewish agenda done in bombing Syria from time to time. From assassinating General Soleimani and ramping up, he got Victoria Nuland's agenda done, increasing sanctions on Russia. None of this he had campaigned for. His platform was, he got very little done. Okay, I guess he strengthened or rebuilt part of the wall, but it wasn't really even a wall. It was slats, right? And it's only over, you know, a portion of the border. So really, he got very little done. But I think he tried. He made lots of mistakes and never figured out how to govern. You had a four-year coup d'etat, and it was a success. But, okay, it's not just that it was a success, but now you've got the knives coming out, and people like Nancy Pelosi are extremely vindictive. Let me read you this, and I'm saying people like Nancy Pelosi. Hold on one second. The Great Repression. So here we're finding people who simply attended the rally, didn't even necessarily go into the Capitol, are being fired. They're being investigated and fired. Seattle's police department is investigating two of its officers after finding out they were in Washington, D.C. As public and private employees face scrutiny for partaking in the pro-Trump rally turned riot at the U.S. Capitol. This is from RT. I'm just going to skip through it. In Chicago, a real estate agent also lost her job after saying on social media that she took part in the storming of the Capitol. Now, that person apparently went inside the Capitol, but how about this one? A St. Vincent College professor was cut loose by the Pennsylvania school after he shared pictures of himself outside the Capitol on Wednesday. The president of the Richmond Food Truck Association was forced to resign for participating in the protest. You've got here, this is being shared from Ian Miles Chong. Are people going to lose their jobs just for being at the Trump march yesterday and not the Capitol raid? If so, that's a bit much. We've got here another tweet. If city officials determined that any city of Pittsburgh employees participated in Wednesday's deadly insurrection in the nation's capital, appropriate disciplinary actions will be taken. So people are going to lose their jobs just for being there. This is an incredible vindictiveness. And, you know, you've got, well, I'll have more to say about this after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back. Okay, I do want to talk about the vindictiveness, but that's going to have to wait till the next segment. In April 2019, I recorded this. I think it stands up pretty well. It was when we all started really having doubts about what was going on with Donald Trump. It was kind of a Dear John letter, and now that he actually is going away, I think I want to rebroadcast this. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, Donald, where did we go wrong? We had such a beautiful thing together. The rallies, the chants, lock her up, lock her up. Build that wall, build that wall. It was fun, no? And the debates. Do you remember that time Marco Rubio? Little Marco, you called him. He made a silly little joke about your small hands. What did you do? You looked into the camera and solemnly announced to the American people that you have an enormous schlong. He totally trolled you. But we didn't care. They were good times. We were happy together. Oh, and when you stalked Hillary on the stage, she asked, where will he be if Donald Trump is elected? You said, you'd be in jail. But now, things have changed. Is it us? Have we gotten old? Have we gotten fat? Maybe. but we still have the same dream. We still dream of a big, beautiful wall that just got 10 feet higher. We don't even care if Mexico doesn't pay for it. We will pay. We dream of early morning horseback rides with Vladimir Putin. It's okay. You can keep your shirt on. We dream of sending back illegal aliens. You don't have to be a dreamer to dream. No, Donald. No, it's you. It's you. You have changed. At first, we were willing to look the other way. Why did you put Nikki Haley in the United Nations? That crazy bitch, she just read whatever her Jewish speechwriters put in her hands. But still, you seemed to care. I believed you did care. You issue Muslim ban. Good start. Wall prototypes. Well, okay, I guess. But then you bomb Syria. Over baby gas mask meme? What was that? How do you say bull honky? I think I know. It was Ivanka, no? She never liked us. She always telling you lies about us. I know you don't believe her. But why you let her pull you around like a dog on a leash? She will go down as the shiksa who destroyed the Trump presidency, like Marie Antoinette. Let them eat bagels. She destroyed you. Oh, I am sure she is telling you that you don't need us, that we are no good for you. You know we put you into office, but even you won't thank us. You thank your black voters. You thank your Hispanic voters, but never your white voters. Unless, were you calling us poorly educated? Were you talking about us? You said you loved the poorly educated. But why then won't you give us jobs? You say black unemployment at record lows. Hispanic income never been higher. But us? You say you are making new jobs with factories. So you want more immigrants than ever before? That is bullonky. So, is this goodbye? Are you really going off with all your daughter's Jew friends to give everything to Israel and make America Honduras again? I can't believe it. But two can play at that game, you know. We too are seeing someone else. Some of us are seeing Andrew Yang. He seems nice. He promised $1,000 and says he can get our foreskins back. I don't know. It may be some ancient Chinese medicine. Some are looking at Patrick Little. Me? Maybe I will go with Tulsi Gabbard. She says she will stop wars. She doesn't say Jewish wars, but we know what they are. Plus, she is very, very beautiful. So, Donald, maybe this is goodbye. It's up to you. You know how to fix things. Maybe you will. Probably you won't. I will always thank you for the good times. But if you go your own way, beware. They will chew you up and spit you out like 3-day-old escargot. So choose carefully. Bonne chance and au revoir.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a cool boy, I need no...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having. And I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back to the show. Now, there's something I wanted to say regarding this vengeance that people are taking out on against Donald Trump and anybody associated with him and anybody who supported him. You know, I've been someone who has talked bluntly and frankly about the Jewish power that I see, the issue of Jewish power, that the United States is a country with a Jewish-dominated elite, and that elite treats the regular people, the vast majority of whom are white, as hostile entities. There's a very the elite views the bulk of the population, which is mainly white, with hostility. And I talk about the elite because elite's what runs the United States. Elites run the country, but I also say that I think, to an extent, non-elite Jews that you might come across in your everyday life, who might be perfectly nice and you get along with just fine, they do have a role. It's not as if they have absolutely no responsibility. They do have a role. And that role is to help enforce the taboo on speaking about Jewish power. And Gilad Otzman says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to stifle the discussion of Jewish power. Now, Mr. Shapiro in the next cubicle in your office, who's perfectly a nice person, he might not even be consciously trying to stifle discussion of Jewish power, but he would probably be shocked if you started talking about it, and you know he would be shocked if you started talking about it, and so you don't. And so even indirectly, in this, even passively, many Jews partake in this. Very few don't. There's a few who don't, but very few. So most Jews do have a certain responsibility. Is that so mean and evil and hateful to say that? I mean, haven't we been lectured for decades about our white privilege and our white fragility? Aren't we told that even if we're working in a convenience store for minimum wage, we've got white privilege, that we've been repressing black people and foreigners and Jews? Haven't we been told that? And haven't we just gritted our teeth and bared it? Is that the bear born it? Haven't we just gritted our teeth and borne it? And in fact, haven't many of our people, especially a lot of women who can play the, and I don't mean to attack our women, but women can play the, I'm repressed too because I'm a woman. Gays can play the, I'm repressed too because I'm a gay. Don't so many of our own people join in the chorus, claiming to be a stripe in that rainbow coalition that it has taken over America and that is united by, well, what color isn't in the rainbow? White. White's not in the rainbow. By definition, a rainbow is light, white light that's been split up into its various components, which are not white. So we've been told this. We've been told we have to listen to all of this criticism of us and just grit our teeth and bear it. And yet, if we're to make criticism of Jews in particular, anybody, but especially Jews, they are not expected to take it. No. And we are expected not to mention it. And so there is a responsibility. Now, does that mean these people need to be punished? Because I've said many times, I think if regular people, most of whom are white, if regular people just, and it is whites, it's whites specifically, not just all regular people, but whites specifically that are demonized. And if we were simply to speak our minds and act our consciences. Does that sound right? And, for instance, not vote for politicians who don't represent our interests, not shop at stores or companies, boycott even. Yeah, boycott. Boycott companies that use anti-white advertising. Not listen to any of the Zion media. If we were simply to behave in such a way as to promote our interests, and that would take back our society. If we took back our society, would we need to unleash a vengeance on, well, Jews? Would we? I think we wouldn't. Because we're strong enough. Once we're in control, we're in control. And we don't, just like an adult doesn't need to beat a child, an adult's strong enough. And if an adult's in control and, just takes control, then there's not much the child can do about it. And I think Jews could do just fine in a white-dominated society. The thing is, they don't think so. They think if they're riding a tiger, and if they don't stop riding the tiger, they're going to get holocausted, and there will be 6 million deaths. That's what they've been indoctrinated into thinking. And so they act accordingly. And the thing is, because they act accordingly, and because they're so paranoid, I think you have had times over and over in history where they've gone too far, And there's been a backlash that wouldn't have happened if they hadn't gone so far. I don't think we're at the point where that has to happen. There doesn't need to be that kind of backlash. But if things keep going and keep going, the backlash becomes more likely. And things, they keep pressing it. Anyway, but my point is, I don't feel any need for this kind of vengeance. I know before the break I was using a different word. I can't even remember what the word was.
The word was vindictive. You were saying that the Jewish-dominated elite was being vindictive against white people. Vindictive, that's what you were saying.
I don't think there needs to be. But look at how they're treating the Trump supporters, the Trump associates, and Donald Trump himself. All right, well, I am going to leave some time because I am recording this two or three days ahead of schedule, a couple days ahead of schedule, and I want to make sure that I'm able to respond to what happens in the intervening days before I wind up saving and uploading this. So, I'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. So, here we are, and we tried voting, and we reelected Donald Trump. We know we did. And yet he's not going to be president, okay? They stole the election. Then it took a while, but we had a massive demonstration. After some good stuff. I mean, we had some good stuff. Rudy Giuliani going around with his traveling show of fraud provers. Everything was a little too late, but we got it going. We came close, and that's good. Then we had that big rally. Now, we should have been getting our numbers out there more at state capitals, all these Stop the Steal rallies. Should have been bigger, but we had a big one. And it seems to have been at least partially hijacked. You know, we don't have to go into, on this show, we don't have to go into all the nitty-gritty details about who was a false flag, who was Antifa, who was a infiltrated militia, who were genuine MAGA people. But we will be getting to this. And that's something I plan to do over the coming weeks, is really get to the bottom of what happened, who did what, who's responsible for what was really the nature of that Occupy Congress event. But they are definitely using this to unleash the Great Repression. And we're seeing the deplatforming, we're seeing the drafting of laws, you know, something akin to a second Patriot Act. So we're seeing a lot of stuff going on. So we tried voting, and that didn't work. Didn't work this time, at least. We tried having mass demonstration, and that gets turned against us. It's being used against us. But, you know, you do have the indignant fury. And now you got people... okay. And honestly, it may well be that, I won't say we, but that somebody, that it may be that, you know, one of these militia groups, I don't know exactly what happened, so I'm saying maybe, this is all tentative, but it may be that there was a militia group, a LARPy militia group in there, that actually thought they were going to go into the Capitol and arrest congresspeople and whatever comes after that. So I won't say we tried that, but somebody may have been trying that, and whatever, it didn't work, okay? So what's going to work? I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you one thing. You got a lot of people who are very, very mad, and right now going out into the streets in mass action, I mean, going to Washington to protest an inauguration that's not even going to happen, that's... No. The state capitol stuff, no, the time for demonstrating in front of the state capitals was November, early December. That's when the time for that was. And people didn't do it. I'm sorry. I went. Our people weren't there. There were Chinese people there. There were Japanese tourists. There were Sun Myung Moon people. They're Orientals galore. There was Epic Times. There was NDT or NTD, whatever it is, the New Tang Dynasty Network. They were there, but our people weren't. Anyway, so the time for that's passed. Now what? Now what? Well, here's what. This is what we should be doing, and I think it is a good idea. We should be launching recall efforts, a recall. So not all states have them. In fact, most states don't, but I think 18 or 19, depending on Virginia. I think Virginia's got funky laws. But a good 18 states have them. Now, out of the six states that were most problematic in this past election, out of these six states, five of them do have the recalls. So let's go to Georgia first, okay? So Georgia, they have the recall. So what do you need to recall a state official in Georgia? A statewide officer, you need 15%. This is for signatures. The signatures, you go around, you get signatures. 15% of eligible voters for the office at the last election. Okay, so we have to go back and see how many eligible voters were there in the last gubernatorial election. And I'll tell you, at least I'll give you a good approximation. So how many would that be? That would be a little over 1 million signatures you'd need, which is an awful lot. But here's the thing. It really doesn't matter if we get the 1 million signatures or not. What matters is that we go out and show that we're trying, you see? So if you get people going out, and this is for Governor Kemp, who was a complete douchebag, and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. So you go out and you don't have to get 1 million signatures from pro-Trump people. You can go out and get a bunch of black ladies to sign because voter repression and Stacey Abrams and all that. And can we get 1 million votes, 1 million signatures, and get a recall election? Probably not. But if you go out and you just, and it's visible, okay, this is, it's the demonstration of it. Rather than trying to get a whole bunch of people to go out at once, where we can be, false flagged into being violent or whatever. No, you demonstrate your anger by going out and getting signatures to have Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger to have them recalled. It makes a statement. Even if you get 100,000 signatures or you get 50,000 signatures or whatever, just to have people out there, it shows the anger. In Arizona, you need 25% of the votes cast last time. So signatures that would be equal to 25% of the total votes cast for governor last time. Now, governor last time, the total votes cast was a little over 2 million. So you're talking about 500,000 votes, 500,000 signatures you need. It's a lot. It's a lot of signatures. It doesn't in the end. I mean, we're trying to get Brian Ducey, who looks like he has Down syndrome, but actually he doesn't. We're trying to get him removed. But no, in the end, it doesn't even matter if we get him removed. What we're trying to do is strike some fear into these people's hearts. Because if there is a visible effort, even if, you'd get 100,000 signatures or whatever, these people are going to know that, especially these Republicans, are going to know that in an era of faked elections, where they don't even have the support of their own party, they have no political future. I think there's some value in that. It's something that we can do for the time being. Now, those are Republicans, but Michigan also has the same thing. They've got the recall. And, there you got Governor Slutmore, and everybody's mad at her because she wouldn't let people go buy carpet. I don't know what her thing with carpet is, but
because of coronavirus, people can't buy carpet or tomato plants. You know, you can figure that out for yourself. But people are angry, and let's take advantage of this. So can we get her removed via recall? Probably not. It's hard. Although, you know, Gray Davis was removed via recall in California and replaced with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So these types of things can happen. Okay, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back. Okay, gang. So, you know, we're having some difficult times. We got the Great Repression, and a week from now, it looks like there's going to be an inauguration for Joe Biden and Chlamydia Harris. And it's not even a real inauguration that you could actually go to and protest. It's a virtual inauguration. You know, they're going to be doing it over the internet. And they're actually taking, like, there's some sort of raffle or something where you can enter to host, you know, a party, one of these inaugural balls, and I'm applying. National Bugle is applying. We're actually applying, and we're applying as blacks because, you know, Mr. T is black. Don't tell him that, but he is.
And we'll see. Maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. But so keep your chin up. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. And with that, let's hear what Engelbert Poindexter has to say. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what the Goyim say. You're riding high in 1912, shot down on D-Day. But I know I'm gonna change that too. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And it seems to be the case. Antifa like to get their kicks stomping on my face. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this dreidel world, it keeps spinning around. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, babe. That's what they sell you. And if you don't mind your P's and Q's, you're gonna find yourself in trouble with the Jews. I'm called a racist, a bigot, a hater, a Nazi, and KKK. I've been to Washington and Charlottesville, and I can say, each time I find myself punched right in my face, the Jewish judge locks me up because of my race. Well, that's life.
That's life.
You know, that's what they tell you. Porno and fentanyl, baby. That's what you tell you. And if you don't mind your P's and find yourself in a heap of trouble with the
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.